Well, last week we covered Ruth 3 as Naomi put a plan in place for Ruth to move on with life. And Ruth would carry that out, that plan out very well. This week we see Boaz develop a plan for the same cause that Ruth had started. On the surface, when we look at chapter 4 of Ruth, it appears he's just seeking to acquire land, but of course, it's much, much more than that. Land, one of the most valuable things you can own in this life. It's tangible, it's practical, it can be possibly profitable as well. For the most part, family land in that day, as is today, was held in families and handed down from generations to generations. It's prized for its long-lasting value. In our area, we know land to be important. Having ownership of land can set one up for years to come, for a lifetime. And in some cases, it can be handed down to generations for a home, continued income. It is something that is very valuable. Years ago, I was into reading James Michener as an author. How many of you have read a James Michener book? They're really tiny. Actually, quite the opposite. If you've ever read War and Peace, which is huge, it's equivalent to that. They're very, very big books. Michener was a Jewish man, but I would say more of an atheist than a Jew. He really didn't practice the fact he was Jewish. He didn't believe in God. You can tell by his actions that to be true. From 1947 to his death, just after 1995, James Michener wrote over 25 very large epic stories, pretty exciting stories. They were all on fiction, but they were all based around true history. So if you wanted to learn history, it's a great way to learn it by reading Michener. There's volumes to read, and it was a lot of information. Usually, he had a pattern he usually kept where he would start at creation, at least as far as he understood it. In the early chapters, it'd be like bottom of the earth and coming up, and then life starting from there. The geography would range from the South Sea Islands to the rich lands of Europe, from the Bay of Chesapeake to the flatlands of Middle America and elsewhere around the world. One large book, actually the very first large book I read, a friend of mine was going to Hawaii. I couldn't afford to go. So I bought the book, a really big, thick paperback book. And that's where I got introduced to Michener. And he kept my imagination going constantly as I thought about, you know, it's fictional stories, but the history was true. But as he got well into it, he started talking about the missionaries out of New England. I think, it fascinated me because my family's from New England. They went to a church that was started in the 1600s. And no doubt, they sent missionaries to Hawaii from that church. So they would travel around Cape Horn of South America and settle in Hawaii. Besides sharing very fascinating stories of those early missionaries there on the island paradise of Hawaii, he communicated something else in his story. He communicated how, and I won't get into all the stories about the missionaries, but about how valuable the land was. And the locals didn't really realize it, and so the kids of the missionaries actually got ownership of so much of the land of Hawaii. To this day, those families still own a lot of the lands, the valuable lands in Hawaii. They will lease it, but they won't sell it. In our final chapter of the book of Ruth, chapter 4, Boaz has a plan to acquire land. In this case, however, the land carries with it much more value than what is seen on the surface. Something far more valuable to him personally than the profitability of the land was the woman attached to the land, a woman who had captured his heart. As we've discussed on previous weeks, women didn't have the right to own land. Only men could own land. Women, however, could derive income from the land. And that was the case for Naomi. Her and her husband Elimelech took their two boys and they moved to Moab during a time of drought in Israel. Her husband died. And so the two sons inherited the land, but they died. And we know the story of how one widow went back to her family, and the other one, Ruth, went with Naomi and came back to the Bethlehem area. They didn't own the land, but it appears the reality was they were able to get some income from the land. So we catch up now to Boaz as he executes his plan for the property, and what's far more precious, the right to marry Ruth. He starts at the city gate, because all business in that day was done at the city gate. That's where the judges were, that's where the lawyers, that's where AJ would be. He'd be at the city gate of Sioux Falls or Harrisburg. Yeah. So let's set the stage. This is Ruth 4, verses 1 through 2. Boaz went to the town gate and took a seat. Just then the family redeemer he had mentioned came by. So Boaz called out to him, "Come over here and sit down, friend. I want to talk to you." So they sat down together. Then Boaz called 10 leaders from the town and asked them to sit as witnesses. This wasn't a casual meeting. It was very official. I have been to numerous city gates that have been restored in the Holy Lands. I thought I'd show you a couple pictures. You can see there, this one happens to be in northern Israel. It's the town of Dan. The tribe of Dan was located up there. And you can see the city, and you can see some people sitting. Don't go too fast. You're just killing the anticipation. You can go there now. You can see we have a place to sit. Yeah, you can go ahead. And you have to make use of it. You're going to be there. So we actually, on this trip, thought we'd reenact a little bit, kind of, the story of Ruth. And we got a gal who looks kind of Jewish. She's actually a very close friend of ours, Lindsay, who married a guy named Gordon, coincidentally. And there we are. She's pleading with us for some cause right there with the father's reenacting at the city of gate. And it would be done something like that. On this day, Boaz is at a gate similar to that. Let me pick up reading verses 3 through 4 of chapter 4. And Boaz said to the family redeemer, "You know Naomi, who came back from Moab. She is selling the land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should speak to you about it so that you can redeem it if you wish." He was a closer relative than Boaz was to Naomi and Ruth. "If you want the land, then buy it here in the presence of all these witnesses. But if you don't want it, let me know right away, because I am the next in line to redeem it after you." The man replied, "Well, all right, I'll redeem it. I like land." In my imagination, as I thought of this and as I read between the lines, I believe Boaz was very prepared with his plan. I believe he had thought through all the options. And I also would guess he had an idea that there was some drama from his family or some situation that Boaz knew, chances are, he might like the land, but not the responsibility with the women. Not the responsibilities that came with the property. That is caring for Naomi and Ruth. So Ruth, chapter 4, verse 5, "Then Boaz told him, 'Of course, your purchase of the land from Naomi," he'd still have to pay for it, "also requires that you marry Ruth, the Moabite widow. That way she can have children who will carry on her husband's name and keep the land in the family.'" I would say Boaz had a really good idea. That family redeemer really can't handle all the strings attached to the property, that responsibility. Look at verse 6 through 8. "Then I can't redeem it," the family redeemer replied, "because this might endanger my own estate. You redeem the land. I cannot do it." Now, in those days, it was custom in Israel for anyone transferring a right of purchase to remove his sandal and hand it to the other party. This publicly validated the transaction so that the other family redeemer drew off his sandal as he said to Boaz, "You buy the land." Now, that's a whole new concept for us. It'd be like taking off your shoe, and that's a sign, a contract. you're transferring the right to that property to somebody else. It would change the whole shoe business in this country if we started doing that, wouldn't it? But Boaz was a man who thought about things. He didn't want any dispute down the road. He wanted it on the record. He wanted it crystal clear. So he repeated the matter in front of all the witnesses there at that city gate. Verses 9 through 10. Then Boaz said to the elders and to the crowd standing around, "You are witnesses that today I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, their sons Chilion and Mahlon. And with the land I have acquired Ruth, the Moabite widow of Mahlon, to be my wife. This way she can have a son and carry on the family name of her dead husband and to inherit the family property here in his hometown. You are all witnesses today." You might remember the discussion we had in Ruth 2 in previous chapters of the responsibility that a brother-in-law, our family redeemer, had when they acquired the land. They wanted the tribe that they're all part of, wanted things to stay in the family lines. And so that person would take the wife and have a child, and that child would take on the family line name, so that son could take ownership of that property. It was a normal thing. It was a normal custom in that day, and you can hear the witnesses as they summarize what they saw, 11 through 12. Then the elders of all the people standing at the gate replied, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make this woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, for whom all the nations of Israel descended. May you prosper in Ephrata," which was the name earlier for Bethlehem, to be famous in Bethlehem. "And may the Lord give you descendants by this young woman who will be like those of our ancestor Perez, the son of Tamar in Judah." This is really a fascinating account of two widows who are facing difficulty. And now, there's a happy ending to it. But the story doesn't end there. Much like Paul Harvey had the rest of the story, the passage goes on to tell us the details. Verse 13, "So Boaz took Ruth into his home, and she became his wife. When he slept with her, the Lord enabled her to become pregnant, and she gave birth to a son." So Ruth has a child with her marriage to Boaz. You can imagine how that changed life for her and Boaz, and also for Naomi, who had become so bitter, her lot in life so rough. But now, she has a different perspective. She went from grieving of her situation to celebrating for the rest of her life. She's able to be a grandmother and see the family line continue. Verse 14 through 17, you see some of the side benefits. "Then the woman of the town said to Naomi, 'Praise the Lord who has now provided a redeemer for your family. May this child be famous in Israel. May he restore your youth and care for you in your old age. For he is the son of your daughter-in-law who loves you and has been better to you than seven sons.'" You remember Naomi was told that of Ruth. "Naomi took the baby and cuddled him to her breast, and she cared for him as if he were her own. The neighbor women said, 'Now at last, Naomi has a son again.' And they named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse and the grandfather of David." But wait, there's still more to the rest of the story. Listen to the next verse. In the lineage of this brand new baby boy. Verses 21-22. This is the genealogical record of their ancestors. Solomon was the father of Boaz. Boaz was the father of Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David. Remember who Boaz is. He is the son of Rahab, who helped the spies when Israel came into the promised land and Joshua was leading them. She is the one that lived on the wall city, in the wall itself of Jericho, and hid the spies and helped them escape. And the Lord promised to bless her and protect her. Well, she became part of Israel. And here you see, she married a man and they had a child named Boaz. The Lord not only protected Rahab at Jericho, but also he blessed her through her son Boaz, who has a son who becomes the grandfather of King David. And that in itself impacts us. That impacts us because we get to see it's through the line of David and Jesus that Jesus Christ was born to become our Redeemer. While God redeems Naomi and Ruth through Boaz, at the same time, he's laying the groundwork for the Son of God to come and redeem you and I. So what do we take home from this really sweet passage? This demonstration of God's love and redemption. Just as Boaz had planned ahead and executed his plan to redeem Ruth and Naomi, God was working the long view. He's working the long time perspective to rescue all of mankind. Over 1,000 years before Jesus Christ, God was putting in place an amazing sequence of events to set the table for our redemption in Jesus Christ. For him to come on the scene to die a sacrificial death, to conquer it once and for all. You see, Jesus alone has the right to redemption. He alone is our family redeemer. Living by the law and the rules that the Jewish people lived by in those days, as many people try to live by today, just doesn't cut it. It can never make us good enough to make it to heaven. Jesus alone has the resources for the redemption. He literally purchased us with the richness of his blood. Blood that flowed through his veins and into the ground at Calvary. He paid the full cost for our sins. He had the resources to do that once and for all. And Jesus alone is the reason for our redemption. He created us, constantly demonstrating his love, his power for us. And he provides redemption for us through his sacrificial death, the ultimate rescue of our very souls. And he gives us true peace. He gives us true peace in this life today, in the life beyond. The story of Ruth is indeed a wonderful example of God's provision and how deep he loved us and does love us. God has never said we won't have trouble. God has never said we won't struggle. But his story of grace, tenderness, and mercy in our lives as we live in this broken, in this fallen world. Psalm 139 gives a perspective. You watch me, this is verses 15 through 18. You watch me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day was passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand, and when I wake up, you are still with me. As James Michener began his book at the beginning of life and takes us through points of history, so we see at the beginning of the story of Ruth, a story that starts out with a sad, a grim, even a harsh story, as two hurting widows with what appears to be little hope exists. But unlike Michener, God takes us to the rest of the story. A love story of God, giving us a view of his deep love, his everlasting grace in our lives, his plan of redemption, his eternal mercy today and into eternity. Now, we can find ourselves in very bleak and dark situations. Times we cannot see how life can improve. We cannot see a way out. Times that can appear dark. God knows us. He asks us for one thing, to trust him, to know that we belong to him. He asks each of us to put our faith and our trust in him alone. We'd be fools not to make him a priority of our lives. because we've seen him make us a priority in his life since he created us. If you need any help, if you want to have any discussion, what a journey with Jesus Christ looks like, obviously I'd love to chat with you. I'd love to share with you. I'd love to pursue that discussion personally so you can walk a journey with him. Let me pray. Father, you are a God that is indeed gracious. Though we can be in dark times, times that can be so discouraging, even horrifying at times, as things can be unknown to us, as we don't understand what is happening, but we know you do. We know you are fully in control and fully sovereign. Help us to align our lives, to trust and obey, to live them in a way that pleases you, and never doubt for a moment how deep your love is for us. As the story of Ruth has depicted so well, you love us and care about us. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this example hidden in the middle of the Old Testament. In Jesus' name, amen.